Sunday night's main event is brought to you by Vape Nation, your premier provider of electronic cigarettes and e-liquids in Southern Ontario. For locations, visit vapenationcanada.com.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Paul Heyman, Eric Bischoff, never say never, friends. Never say never. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event. On the air with the help of Vape Nation, taking your vape shop experience to the next level, visit vapenationcanada.com for locations. My name is Jason Agnew, and it's a solo effort on tonight's broadcast, but oh my, it is a jam-packed show. First of all, yes, I will give you an update on why everyone is talking about the names Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman in WWE management in the year 2019. It is a crazy story that has come about. And because of that, Dave Meltzer is going to join me immediately thereafter the news pack. So we're bumping Dave up to the first hour to comment and give you all the scoop on Bischoff and Heyman. And then we're going to chat about AEW's Fyter Fest event, which has a couple controversial moments, including unprotected chair shots. Well, just one chair shot. And it was unprotected, and we'll get into it with Dave and then even get more in-depth into that and all of last night's Fyter Fest card with Dan the Mouth Lavransky. Of course, Mouth last night did his All Elite Weekly Fyter Fest show. He's going to join me tonight to chat about the ups and downs of last night's event. But tonight, many of you new listeners to the show probably found us because of the featured interview that I have on the program tonight. Dolph Ziggler. Yep. Dolph's going to be making his way to Toronto on SummerSlam weekend. Will he be on the SummerSlam card? Well, actually, you get a pretty good indication of that in the interview. But we're also going to give you all the details about his comedy show that is going to be taking place at the Rec Room here in Toronto right after Saturday's NXT show. Plus, I chat about a lot of other things with Dolph. So stay tuned for that. And you can also win tickets to go see that show. We actually have two pairs of tickets we're going to be giving away. And along with that, they also get you into the meet and greet with Dolph Ziggler that night. So if you're coming in to Toronto for SummerSlam and you're listening right now, stay tuned for that interview. And afterwards, I'm going to be giving away the tickets to go see the show and the giveaway. It will be to patrons, so you should sign up right now. And that, of course, is patreon.com/SNMEradio for your chance to win. Going to take a break and come on back. News of the week, because there's a lot of it. You are listening to Sunday night's main event.
I hold your life here in my hands.
Hey there. I'm Morty Jenkinson. When I'm not coaching the offspring in soccer, baseball, or wrestling, cutting the lawn, or playing taxi, it's shirts off, Crocs on, slather on the SPF 100, fire up the barbecue, and crank up the Bob Seger, while lounging in the kiddie pool, of course. Ryan Reynolds wishes he was me. Over my dad body Pilsner from Great Lakes Brewery, now available at your local LCBO.
Vape Nation Canada, your premier provider of electronic cigarettes and e-liquids in Southern Ontario. In downtown Burlington, corner of Elizabeth Street and Pine, in Stony Creek at the corner of Paramount and Mud, in Brantford at 320 Colborne Street West in the Sobeys Plaza, in Oakville at Lakeshore Road West and Bronte Road. Open Monday to Saturday, 11 till 9, Sunday, 11 till 6. Better prices, selection, service, and atmosphere. Raise your expectations. You can have it all. Vape Nation, taking the vape shop experience to the next level. VapeNationCanada.com.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
All right, up and away we go in a very newsworthy week here on Sunday night's main event. So let's get you all updated, and everything old is new again. As bright and early on Thursday morning, Sports Illustrated reported that Paul Heyman has been named the executive director of Raw, and in a shocking turn of events, Eric Bischoff has been named the executive director of SmackDown. but it was noted that both will report directly to Vince McMahon. WWE.com posted up that Heyman and Bischoff, quote, will oversee the creative development of WWE's flagship programming and ensure integration across all platforms and lines of business. The creation of these roles further establishes WWE's ability to continuously reinvent its global brand while providing two distinct creative processes for its flagship shows, end quote. So that's WWE gobbledygook, but with a few days for this news to sink in, and as we head into what will undoubtedly be a very interesting week in WWE TV, here's what we know. Yes, these two are at the helm of their respective shows, but it's clearly stated that Vince McMahon is overseeing them both. The question most wrestling fans are asking is, why was Triple H, Paul Levesque, not given either one of these positions? Well, the answer to that is apparently he's supposed to be focusing on the NXT brand, and that does seem a little fishy. And, you know, not knowing the full behind the scenes here, if I were Triple H, I'd feel kind of slighted right now. Initially, WWE had announced that they had no plans for on-air roles for Bischoff, and I suppose Heyman would just continue on in the advocate role he's been playing as opposed to flipping over to an authority figure. However, surprise, surprise, it seems that somewhere in the corporate world of WWE, someone got their lines crossed, and an email blast went out a day or so after the announcement pushing Paul Heyman for Raw and Eric Bischoff for SmackDown this week as the big stars on camera in Dallas and San Antonio. This came as quite the surprise as, yes, Heyman was going to be at Raw, but he's there every week. However, Bischoff was not even scheduled to be at the San Antonio TV taping. Now, of course, we'll get the latest on this story from Dave Meltzer, and since it's what everyone in the industry is talking about, Dave is going to be joining me in the next segment to get the absolute latest on what is happening. Okay, now on to non-Bischoff and Heyman news in what I thought would be the big story of this week's show. Fighter Fest was last night, and we're going to get into all the news surrounding it, including thoughts and fallout from the Sean Spears unprotected chair shot in the next segment. But the next time you can see an AEW show will be Fight for the Fallen on Saturday, July 13th. And that show got some competition this week because WWE announced that Evolve's 10th anniversary celebration will now air live on the WWE Network at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on, yep, July the 13th. That show is taking place at the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia and will feature NXT champion Adam Cole defending his title against Akira Tozawa, and Matt Riddle is set to face Drew Gulak. Plus, Evolve champion Austin Theory and the tag champs Eddie Kingston and Joe Gacy are also on the show as advertised. After this announcement, the normally quiet Kenny Omega decided to share his opinion on Twitter, of course, by stating, quote, "If lining your pockets with blood money is okay, then what's wrong with trying to undermine a charity show for victims of gun violence? I hear that healthy competition is supposed to be a good thing, and yet I can't help but feel like I'm gonna be sick," end quote. Omega then deleted the tweet and wrote, quote again, "I said my piece and it opened the door to a very toxic environment. It wasn't a message to fans or the boys, just the decision makers. I wish everyone wrestling on any show that day all the best. That is all," end quote. I think one thing that this week definitely denotes is that we're well into the war, friends, and it's not just restricted to Monday nights this time around. And Kenny Omega wasn't the only one sharing opinions this week, as Seth Rollins has found himself in many a controversial headline. First up, he appeared on the Sports Illustrated Media podcast and was asked about Dean Ambrose and Chris Jericho and that podcast they did, and he stated the following, quote, "Ambrose can do what he wants. He's a big boy. He's got big boy pants on. He can go out there and say whatever he wants. But the bottom line is not everyone is equipped to handle the rigors of the WWE and the schedule and how it affects you mentally and emotionally," end quote. He also stated he loves Ambrose, but clearly they have differing perspectives on what they want out of life, and that he, Rollins, is very happy with the amount of creative control he gets in his storylines and matches. Ha! That's spoken like a guy who knows he's on top and wants to stay there. Now, Seth was also very active, too active, on Twitter. He was one of the first to kiss up to Eric Bischoff, tweeting, "The Bish is back, hashtag Team WWE." Whoa. makes me puke in my mouth a little. And, of course, earlier in the week, Rollins was entangled in a Twitter feud with Will Ospreay, which started with tweets about being the hardest working and best wrestler and culminated with Seth tweeting, "I mean, if you want to talk numbers, we can compare bank accounts, too." Someone needs to take his phone away. Is it just me, or can you already see Seth and Becky, like, being enablers for one another? Both are champions, which is giving them a feeling of being untouchable. They're together, so they're supporting one another to a fault. And they're both drinking the WWE Kool-Aid. So in my opinion, like, this is a recipe for disaster. And a disaster that we will just sit back and watch. The Eli Drake sweepstakes is over, as on Friday night, Eli Drake was announced as the mystery partner for Nick Aldis at the Ring of Honor Best in the World show. And after being confronted by James Storm in the pre-show, Aldis introduced Drake as his partner. Later in the show, Drake cut a promo saying that he is no longer the hottest free agent in wrestling. He is going to turn ROH and the NWA upside down. Now, the reason why Aldis required a new tag partner is because Colt Cabana was forced to pull out of the event due to a severe hematoma on his thigh. The interesting thing here is that Drake, whose real name is Sean Ricker, was able to use the name Eli Drake. Oh, and also, Nick Aldis, Eli Drake, and James Storm are now making an impact in ROH. I'm not sure if that's a good thing for ROH's sake. Now, as you may remember, Eli Drake had all the contract controversy with Impact Wrestling because he refused to work an intergender match with Tessa Blanchard. Well, Impact will be getting that match, except in the part of Eli Drake, we have the understudy of Sami Callihan. He will be wrestling Tessa at Slammiversary, and that's only 1 week away from today. That's July 7th. Yeah, Slammiversary is next weekend. Figured I'd update you on that. Other matches on that card, so should you choose to spend $29.99, RVD versus Moose, a women's monster ball match with Taya Valkyrie, Sue Young, Jessica Havoc, and Rosemary, LAX versus the Rascals for the tag titles, Rich Swann versus Johnny Impact for the X Division title, and Brian Cage versus Michael Elgin for the Impact Championship. As I stated, $29.99 on Fight.tv. As fans keep asking if CM Punk will be appearing at All Out, he's keeping himself busy suing his former friends. PW Insider reported this week that on June 18th, Punk filed a countersuit against Colt Cabana for $600,000 plus interest and other fees in response to an amended suit that Cabana filed against Punk in August of 2018. This, of course, is where Cabana is looking for unpaid legal fees due to a breach of contract that he claims Punk said he would cover those fees. It's always sad to see longtime friendships torn apart by greed. As AEW continues their ties with AAA, it was announced that Cody Rhodes and MJF will be appearing on the July 18th AAA television taping to take on Brian Cage and Taurus. In case you missed it, Abby the Witch and Mercy the Buzzard from Bray Wyatt's Firefly Funhouse were in the background of backstage segments on Raw. Huss Kiss the Pig and Ramblin' Rabbit appeared in the same manner on SmackDown. I wonder if they count as wild cards. Huh. Jinder Mahal recently signed a new 5-year deal with WWE. However, we will not be seeing him on TV anytime soon since he's also recently underwent surgery for a ruptured patellar tendon. I mean, I know people are trying to scoop up all talent possible, but Jinder Mahal? Are we really worried about him going somewhere and becoming a star? Listen, there's an exception that... There's an exception that proves every rule, right? As a matter of fact, I think I'd let Jinder Mahal go in hopes that someone else would sign him as a way of sabotaging that promotion. I'm not a fan of Jinder Mahal. Can you tell? And our final little bit of news concerns SummerSlam weekend here in Toronto. There are a ton of shows going on around that time. ROH, Smash Wrestling, Destiny Wrestling, NXT, and of course SummerSlam on Sunday night. Plus, later in the show, we're going to talk about Dolph Ziggler's show, which is happening right after NXT. But if you are traveling to Toronto, please come in on Thursday night and join me at Summer Strikes. So tickets are now on sale. It is the very first post at SNME Radio.com. Tickets are $20 each, but here's the thing. If you are a patron of Sunday night's main event and you're at the comedy level of patron, which is the $12 level, you'll get two tickets for $12. Now, I didn't actually intend for these tickets to be so cheap, but listen, you guys are loyal to this show. I'm going to honor this patron level as a way of giving you patrons super cheap tickets if you upgrade to the comedy level. And this is essentially going to be a meet and greet for all of you that listen to Sunday night's main event. I'm hosting the stage show. Mark Andrada is the man that makes the show happen. Bartender Dave, I believe, is going to be there. Not bartending, just hanging out. I hope Mouth drops in. Because here's my theory, guys. I want to put on a show. I want to make you laugh with inside jokes about pro wrestling that we all get. And because you'll be in a room with 100 other wrestling fans, you know you can laugh out loud and not feel like a weirdo. And listen, it's not a stand-up show. It's an improv show, and it's really fast-moving. I describe it as Whose Line Is It Anyway meets Fear Factor meets the WWE. There is no other show like it. And if you haven't come to a show yet, honestly, you're missing out. And I don't mean because of me. I mean because of the performers that play the show. They are so damn funny. They're also all wrestling fans. So there's going to be an immediate bond from the performer to you guys in the audience. And then at the end, much like the Fyter Fest last night, you get the extreme match at the end where two of them play blindfolded and barefoot on a stage covered in mousetraps. So even you extreme weirdos can get your kicks. Then after the show, I mean, here's the great thing. After the show, we walk out of the theater. There's a huge bar in Comedy Bar. After all, it is Comedy Bar. We drink beers. We talk about wrestling until the wee hours of the morning when the bartender kicks us out. Honestly, it is the best night. And since I know a bunch of you are traveling to SummerSlam, we're going to be having some guests from outside the city that have never seen this show before attending, and it's going to be awesome. I look forward to meeting all of you. Plus, guys, we have an actual championship belt thanks to our patron, Ian Cameron, who got this for us, and we use it on the show. And maybe if you ask our champion nicely, you can take a picture with it. Summer Strikes tickets are now on sale. SNMEradio.com. It is the first post on the page. Go and get yours. And guys, as a special treat this time, if you're a fan of Kim's Convenience, Andrew Fung, who plays Kim Chi, he even has a wrestling name on the show. He plays Kim Chi on Kim's Convenience, no mask. He is playing the show. Come and see Andrew. Come and see the show. If you have a friend that isn't a wrestling fan, they will still get a whole bunch of the jokes. So I highly recommend it. SNMEradio.com is where you can get your tickets, or just bump up to the $12 level of patron and get them for super cheap. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Dave Meltzer's next. Fact of the matter is, there's so much news, we got to talk about it. Dave Meltzer in Hour 1, Hour 2, Dolph Ziggler, and Dan the Mouth Lavransky. Lots to come. A jammed show this week. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event.
Hello, Gordy Levesque here. No one swings and hacks like I do. And no one struts quite like I do, too. And no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale. My beer, your beer. Our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery. Brewed for you, Ontario.
Thanks for listening to the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like to hear the second hour, just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio and become a patron. This gives you access to the weekly shows and all the podcasts that we do as well. It's patreon.com/SNMEradio.
It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Loyal listeners of this program know this theme normally comes about just after midnight when you hear that name and we talk to this gentleman. Well, yes, it is Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. And we're moving this up in the show because there has been so much news breaking late in the week, and I wanted to get you all filled in on this and get a little bit more in depth with Dave on it. So Dave Meltzer joins us now. And Dave, if I had told you 1 week ago that the name Eric Bischoff and WWE would be coming together this week and we'd be talking about that, what would you have said to me?
I would have said highly likely. I never say never.
Yes.
If you remember about 16, 17 years ago, there was that one day where Vince hired Vince Russo back, and then he ended up like getting rid of him the next day because there was revolt internally. But once that happened, I realized that anything is possible. And also, I'm trying to remember when this was, but there was after the first time that Russo was gone from TNA, we thought he would never be back, and
right.
Then he was back again.
Yep.
And people were like in that company were like very vocal about how much they hated him, with the idea that he's gone, he's never coming back, and then he came back, and it's just like, oh, now we got to work with him. So, I mean, the thing to me that was very interesting at that point was like, you never, no matter what, no matter how incompetent, no matter how failure, whatever, you know, I mean, you never say never. Jeff Jarrett got brought back to TNA, and then Jeff Jarrett worked for WWE. You know, after Jeff Jarrett's big split with WWE years and years ago, you know, where Vince would never hire him back. So it's like, you just never say never in wrestling, and everything's possible. So I've never ruled it out 100%, but as far as like in the role head of creative or you know, running one of the brands, I it's like as Vince, you know, it's everyone's just saying the same thing to me. It's like is time past Vince back? Does he really realize it's not 1998 anymore?
That is one of the many questions that are we about to get into, because I heard this announcement and I was not surprised for all the same reasons that you were not surprised. It is a matter of never say never. But when I thought about it a little bit more, you know, Paul Heyman, this does not surprise me at all.
I have full confidence
in Paul Heyman. I think that he is a person, even though, you know, everyone is a little bit older nowadays and he's been in the business for so long, but he's kept up with the industry and he is a brilliant man. Eric Bischoff,
without a doubt, Paul Heyman is brilliant. He's manipulative, which is both good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
But he's completely caught up with the industry. He's always followed it. He never got out of touch with it. Yeah,
Eric Bischoff is a different story. Here's a man who is not up to speed on the industry. And Dave, you look back at the last thing he did, and Impact/TNA, whatever it was called, was a complete disaster when he was there last time.
Especially the early part, because if you remember the early part, it was bringing back all these guys from the past and putting them over the current stars. And then he did the thing, you know, which sounded good at the time. We're going to get the fans, we'll be the fans' promotion. And that's what they should have done. So we're going to have the fans vote for who's going to face the world champion, not realizing, and then they voted for Nigel McGuinness as Desmond Wolfe, and it was just like, we don't want to push him. For whatever reason, he saw nothing in him, so we'll beat him in 3 minutes. Then we'll do the poll again, and Nigel McGuinness won again. and it's like, they had no, and you know, they just thought Matt Morgan was it, because on the standards of another generation,
mm-hmm.
Matt Morgan, big, good-looking, agile, you know, I mean, he would be the guy. But it just wasn't, you know, that time had passed.
I have a lot of respect for Eric Bischoff on camera as a performer. I think
he's
an exceptional television character. Now, originally, when these two roles were announced, it was not announced as on camera. It was a producer. And I mean, before I even get to that question, does this have something to do with Fox and Vince believing that Eric is a good TV man and TV executive to be put as an intermediary here?
I mean, as far as on camera, I don't know the answer to on camera, and I probably will, you know, in the next 24 hours, but I don't know for sure. The original role was not to be on camera, but, you know, I just, because of who both guys are and the fact they are so good on camera, my thought was is that, yeah, they say they're not going to be on camera, and within a month they'll be on camera both.
What was the story?
But we don't need more authority figures.
That's true.
That's the negative on it. That would be my negative on this thing.
But Dave, there was also a leak with some sort of WWE promotions putting out Heyman and Bischoff's face that came out in a mailer, right?
Yeah, for Monday and Tuesday.
Right.
And Bischoff wasn't even scheduled for Tuesday. He may end up being on the show, but he was absolutely not scheduled when that thing came up. And Heyman, I believe, was scheduled to do some angle with Seth Rollins, but not to be an authority guy. He was, you know, something to do with building up Seth Rollins Brock Lesnar match for whenever that's going to be.
Sure. So now we have, I mean, so the off camera role though, I think the $1 million question here is how much control will these guys be given? Is this a response to Vince being preoccupied with the XFL?
I think it's a response to the ratings and Wall Street, because I'm guessing that the numbers for the second quarter are not, well, we already know what the ratings are. Mm-hmm. We already know what the house shows are.
Yep.
So they've used the excuse that, you know, the first excuse was that, yes, we have a problem, but we know how to fix it. Then they didn't really do anything different. So then it was, we've had a lot of injuries. And people are still buying, we've had a lot of injuries. But the reality is we knew that was BS already,
mm-hmm.
and you can't use it again. So the next one is that, hey, we're bringing back the guys who were the architects, you know, two of the smartest guys when wrestling was at its hottest. We got the guy who was running WCW, we got the guy who was running ECW, and this is when the business was really cooking. So to Wall Street, that sounds good. I've seen Wall Street, you know, people going like, oh, yeah, this makes sense. This is good. And it's like, you know, okay, I mean, you know, you don't know anything about wrestling. The people who do know, you know, I mean, they probably have a little bit of a different tune on this. But as far as, like, how much, it's still Vince's game. And,
mm-hmm.
and they will have influence, without a doubt. But, you know, there's a lot of guys who have influence. I mean, Brian James had influence. He's gone now. You know, Triple H has influence. In the end of the day, it's Vince's game. And Paul had influence, you know, on Ronda Rousey and Brock Lesnar programs, and got a lot of what he wanted in on both of them, but not everything, because at the end of the day, it's Vince's game.
Now, before we get to Triple H, because that is a name I want to touch on, another question. With these two guys in place for your two flagship shows and the wild card rule in place, they're really not separate shows anymore, and Heyman and Bischoff working together is not something that is a great recipe. At least that's what history would tell us.
I'm sure that they will work really, really hard to be nice to each other, and they're both charming in their own way, and they both know that they need to be. But I think, like, in the long run, I think it's a tough fit. I think from Paul's side, he's going to go, I know so much more than this guy. This is, you know, I mean, I got to be nice to him. And I think Eric, I don't know what Eric's side's going to be on that, you know, but probably I can't trust him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's. I mean, they'll work together, but I do think, yeah, behind the scenes and everything like that, you know, it's going to be that weird dynamic. And again, they can have full autonomy, because the key thing is that, yeah, Roman Reigns has to be on both shows, and his character and his programs have to be consistent. There's programs that go from one show to the other. So, you know, you can't have, like, people go, oh, wouldn't it be great, you know, like, put these two guys in charge and whoever gets the best results and make it competitive. But you can't do that, because they have to do the same basic programs, because it's the same top guys on both shows.
Yeah.
And it's got to be consistent.
It would actually be very interesting if there was no crossover and you did let them run.
Yeah. Especially because the one show that, because of all the artificial reasons, that's going to get the bump is SmackDown.
Yep.
In October, because mm-hmm. it's going to a network and it's going to have great promotion behind it. So it's the ratings are going to go up. How much, we don't know, and they may be even unsuccessful. But, you know, it's like if you're going with Raw, Raw's on a steady decline. It's going to stay in a steady decline unless somebody comes up with a magic formula, which, you know, it's happened in the past. And SmackDown is going to be on a steady decline until October. And then in October, it's going to get this big boost. And then, you know, come November and December, when you compare year to years, the guy in charge of SmackDown is going to look good. I mean, it's artificial. It's complete bogus, but that is what's going to happen.
The name Triple H, you mentioned it. Of course, he was the first name off many people's lips when this announcement was made, because it wasn't his name that was involved in the announcement.
Yes.
He's the son-in-law. He's so instrumental behind the scenes, especially for NXT, but also, you know, he's backstage at Raw and SmackDown. Where was his name here? Should he not be presented as the heir apparent to Vince, to Fox executives?
Absolutely, 100%. You know what that tells you? Vince is protecting him.
Mm.
So that's probably what it is.
Do you think that, so this is Vince protecting him as opposed to him turning this down?
I mean,
I looked at that as well, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm an you know, again, I have not had a chance to talk to enough people. Everyone's asking me questions,
yeah.
So I don't really have a lot of answers. But I'm looking at the outside. I know that he wasn't considered for either role. And what does that tell you? Because, again, the one thing that I would say is, like, if it was me and I'm looking at doing exactly this thing, I probably would have picked Paul, and I probably would have picked Triple H, because they're on top of the game. You know, Triple H is absolutely on top of the game, without a doubt. You know, he knows every piece of talent, and I'm sure he's frustrated that the talent that he's kind of raised has not been used well. So who would you pick to alleviate that but him himself? Plus, you know, again, with NXT, I know that, like, you know, as far as certain aspects of NXT, it's like it's real easy to take the best talent in the world and put them on these great takeovers in 2.5 hours and have these matches that you know are going to be great and tear the house down, and they do every time, where money is not an object. And then on the main brand, you know, money becomes an object. You've got to actually make money with it and everything like that. But, I mean, saying all that, the fact is he's put on the best pay-per-views, you know, that company's ever done over and over. It's not like it's once or twice. It's every freaking time.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's like he is the guy for SmackDown. He's proven it. So the fact that he's not tells me that, you know, and again, if you go in there and you're saying something to Wall Street, it's like, look at this guy's track record as far as successful shows. I mean, it's incredible. But, you know, at the end of the day, obviously there's a reason it's not there. And the idea that, well, he's got to run NXT, it's like, what's more important to this company right now, NXT or Fox? And it's like the answer is very clear that it's Fox.
So Bischoff could very well be perceived as a fall guy?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Don't you? I mean,
yeah,
how else
I see it.
I mean, because if you're doing any logic, why isn't LeBeck in that position?
Yep.
I mean, it's just too obvious. And, you know, there's other guys. You know, he can still oversee NXT, but he's got guys there that can pick up the slack, because Fox is the most important thing in this company right now, because that's the one they can be humiliated on. Whereas USA, it's like there's no way. They're always going to be better rated than anything else on USA, because USA hasn't had a new hit show in God knows how long. So they're always going to be, like, even with the ratings decline, they're always going to be strong on the station. On Fox, I mean, you have to do competitive numbers, and if they continually drop, that's going to be a black eye to the company. So they need that success. I mean, that one has to be a success.
Yet if it's not,
and it's not guaranteed by any means.
And if it's not, you have the person that Vince most likes to blame and crap on being Eric Bischoff from a feud that ended 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Still, I don't know. Yeah, it's hard for me, but still, why would you pick him?
Yep.
I mean, you know, he's got so many guys on that. Like, he's got so many guys there. It's not a slap in the face to Levesque, because there's a reason. But it is, whether it's, you know, you can name Michael Hayes or Jeff Jarrett or you know, some of the guys in developmental, you know, like up and down that list, there's producers. There's so many guys there that are in tune with what's going on in wrestling today. And he picked a guy who's, you know, from 20 years ago who, you know, I mean, yeah, he had success 20-plus years ago. But he picked a guy who's out of touch with the business and who's older. And, you know, to me, that's a slap in the face of a lot of smart guys in that company.
Well, as WWE continues to look backward to go forward, The Undertaker shows up on Monday night.
Yep.
How long has this been in the pipeline for? Is this just
It's been you know, a month or two or so.
Wow,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like it was just reaction to last week. I think that they were going to bring him back for a program, maybe building something to SummerSlam, I'm going to guess, because mm-hmm. I can't imagine if he's only going to do a one shot, it's going to be Extreme Rules. You would think that it'd be SummerSlam. So I think he's doing a program, wanting to bring him back. So, I don't even, like, really think he should be on Extreme Rules. I think that Undertaker should be kept, like, WrestleMania, you know, and SummerSlam, and, you know, okay, he's got to do the Saudi shows, you know, and that. But that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
I don't think you want to over-rely on him. That's not a good thing either.
Before we flip to AEW, just quickly, Rusev, not on WWE TV right now. What is his contract status?
I know it's coming up. I don't know the date it's coming up, but it's not that long,
mm-hmm.
and he's clearly not happy. So, you know, what happens, I don't know. I would think that everybody I would think that everybody around would want him because he's a talented guy.
Yeah.
And was, you know, guy was one of those guys that got over and the company didn't go with it. The company really botched a lot of things. Him and Lana together were a great act, and then they broke him up for no reason. Him and Aiden English were a great act, and they broke that up for no reason as well. It's like they break things up because they just... they feel they have to break things up, but with no idea where to go. Like him and Aiden English, they break them up, and then what a dud feud that ended up being.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Aiden's now a commentator. And, you know, Rusev Day came up organically, and it seemed as though it's because it wasn't WWE's idea, it just kind of came about that they had to squash it.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely one of the more mind-boggling decisions of the last year is just how over it was. And then by the time they came up with the idea of going with it, which they did, it was already past its peak, and it was almost like, you wait, it's past its peak, okay, let's go with it. Ah, see, we proved that, like, it was just a gimmick, and it really doesn't help. And then, you know, they and Nakamura were a team, and they really didn't do anything with them either, and they had a cool dynamic as a team, so...
That one's interesting. Let's flip on over to AEW. Last night was Fyter Fest, a free show. Everything seemed to go great for the stream, Dave, but what everybody is talking about is not the whole show, but a couple aspects, in particular, the chair shot. Now, the chair itself that Sean Spears hit Cody Rhodes with was gimmick, but this still looked horrendous, and an unprotected chair shot has caused a lot of people that follow along with AEW and are very positive about AEW to spin negative here. What was your take on this?
Well, I'm not a fan of chair shots to the head, so, you know, for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But it was gimmicked, but, it was an accident. You know, accidents do happen.
They do.
You know, so that's what happened. You know, I guess in hindsight, you would say it was a mistake going forward. I mean, they were concerned enough to gimmick it, so they had an idea of what it would be, and I know that they were very comfortable with it. It ended up not working out. It's a high-risk business. It backfired. You know, I hope that, you know, the reaction tells them that, you know, maybe this isn't a good thing to do. It's a weird thing because they want to be... they want to do the stuff WWE doesn't do, and blood is one of them.
Yeah.
And those kind of angles, those Dusty Rhodes, Terry Funk angles, that's the wrestling that Tony Khan likes. That's the wrestling that Cody, you know, he's Dusty's son. He likes. They want to replicate those kind of feuds, your best friend turning on you and things like that. So, you know, you're going to have stuff like this, and there's ways, and you want... you know, that overselling, that really hard selling by the announcers of how horrible it is, which was part of the furor, I think, is because the announcer sold it so well. But that's what they were supposed to do. You know, it's people taking that stuff so literally because they see that and go, oh, my God. And then the announcers are selling it. But that's what the announcers were going to do all along because, let's face it, you got to get Sean Spears over real big as a heel. And Sean Spears, number one, was a babyface. And he was a nothing babyface in WWE with no push. And now you're trying to get him over as a serious guy because Cody has faith in him and believes that he can do something with him. And, you know, he can prove WWE wrong just like Cody did. So, you know, but to do that, yeah, you probably got to start it off real hard. So that's why they went in that direction.
I mean, a point that you brought up that was very interesting there is, you know, they do want to do things that WWE hasn't done. They are also very good at listening to their fan base.
They are.
So it will be very curious to see that I've been getting a 50-50 split on social media in regards to people that loved it and absolutely despised
it. I definitely have way more positive than negative, but there's absolutely negative. And there's, here's the thing. I think overall, from when I sat there and watched the show, I absolutely enjoyed far more than I didn't enjoy,
yes,
without a doubt. But the stuff I didn't enjoy, you know, was definitely there, and you know, that happened too. And if you want to get hung up on that, yeah, you can say, you know, I don't like the show because this and this and this, and they're valid reasons.
What did you think of the main event, Dave? The main eventing this card with an extreme match, with a plunder match.
It's the first time they did it. I don't have a problem with it if it's like this. I know Moxley really wants to do this style. It's one of the reasons he wanted to come back. I think that this style like, put it this way, if Moxley and Janela had been working for 6 months, back and forth program, this is it, lights out match, final conflict, we'll get over the lights out match gimmick as our gimmick because it hasn't been done in 30 years anywhere, so this is like our big showdown match and we deliver. If that's the story, that match delivered.
Sure.
But that wasn't the story. It was the first time.
No build.
It was almost like we're doing it to prove that we can do it. And even then, I think more people liked that match than disliked it. It's always going to be polarizing. I didn't have a problem with it past the point. It's not my kind of a match, but I feel those kind of matches, if you do them once a year or even once every 6 to 9 months, they're fine. But I think that on every show it'll really get old. I mean, especially like I just remember with Impact and Abyss, it's like the first time I would watch Abyss do those matches, it's great. Then he did it like over and over every time, and I didn't want to see it anymore. So it's definitely tricky. You know, it's like it's like a lot of things. You know, a lot of things are great once. This was great once. But if you do it, and you can't do it on television. And I think, or hopefully, you'd never do it on television. So if you make it like you can only see this on pay-per-view and you can only see it like once or twice a year, and you do this, actually, I think it's pretty darn good. But you don't want to overdo it.
All righty. We're going to leave it at that. Took a little bit more of your time today, Dave. In The Observer this week, obviously covering Fyter Fest, and you managed to get the story of Bischoff and Heyman in there right at the deadline for this week, but I'm sure there's more details to it coming up in this week's Observer.
Yeah, there certainly will be.
All right. Well, we look forward to reading that, Dave, and I'll speak with you at the same time next week.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. Dave Meltzer, of course. Find him at WrestlingObserver.com. Great newsletter, great podcast. Check it on out. We are going to take a break. We put Dave early. Just so much news to get to. We're going to get some of your take on what has happened this week next. And in the second hour, Lavransky, Turnbuckle Trivia, and yeah, Dolph Ziggler on the show as well. Stoked to welcome him. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
Vape Nation Canada, your premier provider of electronic cigarettes and e-liquids in Southern Ontario. In downtown Burlington, corner of Elizabeth Street and Pine. In Stony Creek, at the corner of Paramount and Mud. In Brantford, at 320 Colborne Street West in the Sobeys Plaza. In Oakville, at Lakeshore Road West and Bronte Road. Open Monday to Saturday, 11 till 9, Sunday, 11 till 6. Better prices, selection, service, and atmosphere. Raise your expectations. You can have it all. Vape Nation, taking the vape shop experience to the next level. VapeNationCanada.com.
Not to get too formal here. Paul Heyman, this is Eric Bischoff. Eric, this is Paul Heyman.
Well, well, well. Look at this. For the first time ever in history, in the same ring at the same time, Vince McMahon, Eric Bischoff, and Paul Heyman. WWE, WCW, and ECW.
I'm back, and I'm better than ever. Got a knack for making things better. Face facts, 'cause your opinion don't matter. This maniac is gonna step on who.
Well, I guess next week here on the show, I might be playing a very similar clip. However, I don't have a time machine to go forward. I do have what's called YouTube to go back and find that clip from May 23rd, 2005.
That is when that clip is from Monday Night Raw. It was supposed to be the funeral that Eric Bischoff was having for ECW. And it turns out that I believe that is what started the WWECW brand. And whoosh, we know how that ended as well. Not very good. And actually, you know, it ended with a terrible pay-per-view and Paul Heyman leaving the company. All of what we've said already on the show today in my chat with Dave Meltzer and just in the news pack is the fact that WWE, everything old is new again. I mean, it's Bischoff, it's Heyman, and it's McMahon. It's these three guys who have been running professional wrestling. I mean, that's 2005, but consider they all go back to about 1996 together. So you're looking at over 25 years of the wrestling business being run by these three guys. And honestly, you know, the consistent WWE mindset of looking backwards to create forward success, I don't know if it's right. I really don't. And Dave did say some interesting things in the last block there about Bischoff perhaps being a fall guy for Triple H. And it's just so fascinating on my part. I mean, there's really two ways to look at business and to work in business. And I've seen them both working in the television industry. And honestly, you know, this thing relates to television. And I mean, I dealt with, you know, maybe tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars now in a previous career that I had running a TV station. Now, this is millions and billions of dollars, but the principles remain the same. And I found that there's two types of people that work in management. And there's two ways of doing things. One, surround yourself with the best people possible, and their light and how great they are will shine back upon you. And I've always believed in that. And the people that I've worked with in the past are now on to doing great things. And I'm sure many of you listen to them as well. Or there's the other way, where you surround yourselves with people that you think will fail. And therefore, when they do fail, you have them to blame. It's not a positive environment. But then again, what have we heard about WWE? It's never a positive environment. It's not a great place to work. So you can see what Vince may be doing here. Now, I wanted to get some of your opinion on this, and we're going to do feedback later in the show in regards to the written feedback, but let's just start with a little bit of audio here, and let's kick things off, well, with it's our own Joe from the All Elite Weekly podcast.
Yo, Jay, regarding this Heyman-Bischoff thing, really it just comes down to how Vince can react and how Vince can adjust to this, and personally, I mean, unless something's changed in the last year and a half or so, I don't see this working because ultimately, everything still runs through Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Thanks, man.
Well, Joe, you're certainly not alone on that. I think a lot of people just see this consistent wheel repeating as these guys come back. What's different now? What is different now? Nothing. It's the same people. And can people change? Can they? I mean, I guess we're going to find out, but we have not seen Vince McMahon change for how many years now? We talked about 25 with these guys running it, but Vince was there another 15 years before that, if not more. So what's changed now? I don't know. I guess we'll find out. It'll be fascinating to watch. Continuing on with our feedback, I threw up a couple other topics, and one of them was in regards to Seth Rollins and what he is doing right now, and David had questions about that.
Jason, good evening. You asked for various thoughts on various topics all to do with WWE. I've got one word for all the answers, desperation. However, question for you. In the wake of the Rollins versus Ospreay, seemingly ridiculous Twitter battle, do you think that this is Ospreay's way of getting into the WWE? Or is it just two performers getting themselves over? Regards as always, Dave.
Oh, David, I do not think it is. I think this is someone that is slightly drunk with power. It's maybe not even power, because I don't know about the power that he has, but drunk with celebrity. I think is what this is. And being, I talked about the enabler in the news pack, and I really do think that Becky and Seth are enabling one another, and I think they're both drinking the Kool-Aid, and I do think that is what is happening here. I don't think it's staged. I think these guys are beefing in public for no apparent reason, and I don't know who it helps. Because honestly, I don't see Will Ospreay making his way over to WWE. I mean, he's a guy that is making his home in Japan right now. He's a guy that is being looked upon as, you know, taking Kenny Omega's spot over there. So I don't see that happening. More on this topic next, and it comes from Jake.
I actually want to talk to you this week about Seth Rollins and his recent comments on Twitter being antagonistic towards some independent wrestling like Will Ospreay, and also not having good comments about Jon Moxley and his departure from WWE. Is this a work, or is he really being delusional? Because if he is, talk about slapping the face of most of your hardcore fan base.
Yeah, Jake, I really don't think it's a work. Because if you look at this same type of shoot work angle that is being done properly, it's the way Chris Jericho is doing it. The genius known as Chris Jericho, where he's asking for that thank you and no showing events, all fictional, but all playing in towards the character that he plays on screen. So that is the proper way to do things. And the man that is mad with celebrity and being on top, Seth Rollins, being enabled by his lady friend, Becky Lynch, is what we're watching in WWE. I'm pretty sure that's my take on it anyway. That's what I'm getting out of this. But, you know, I'll leave it to you. And I always leave it to you guys each and every week to send me that feedback. We are going to take a break here. More feedback later in the show. But coming up in our second hour, we're going to kick things off talking about Fyter Fest with Dan Lavransky, then Turnbuckle Trivia, and, of course, Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler to come next hour, Sunday night's main event.
I like that you're broken like me. Maybe that makes me a fool.
Hey there, I'm Morty Jenkinson. When I'm not coaching the offspring in soccer, baseball, or wrestling, cutting the lawn, or playing taxi, it's shirts off, Crocs on, slather on the SPF 100, fire up the barbecue, and crank up the Bob Seger, while lounging in the kiddie pool, of course. Ryan Reynolds wishes he was me. Over my dad body Pilsner from Great Lakes Brewery. Now available at your local LCBO.
I'm Dan the Mouth Lavransky.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old f**ks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because we're the old f**ks, tough guy.
Every day since becoming WWE Champion, Kofi has outperformed every single critic, and he's earned it, and he's been a fighting champion, and you all respect him, and you all admire him, and it should be me!
It's gonna be me.
And there's a bit of Dolph Ziggler's most recent character change, the It Should Have Been Me promos that he has been cutting, and we do talk about that character in this upcoming interview. Welcome back. It's Sunday Night's Main Event. My name is Jason Agnew. I'm your host. And earlier today, I got the opportunity to chat with Dolph Ziggler. And the reason that this has come about is because everybody's coming to town for SummerSlam, and Dolph Ziggler is one of them. Will he be involved in SummerSlam? I'm going to leave that portion to the interview because I think you do pretty much get your answer. But for sure, no matter what he says about that, he will be here the Saturday of NXT, not to go back to NXT and compete like Tyler Breeze. No, no, no. Instead, he'll be just down the street from the Scotiabank Arena, and he'll be performing at the Rec Room and doing one of his comedy shows, which apparently involves a whole bunch of guests. But I'm going to let him tell you all about it in this interview, which I started by asking Dolph, you know, yeah, you're a wrestler, but how did you get into stand-up comedy?
I mean, I've been interested in everything entertainment-wise and, you know, just making people react. And my brother and I have been doing skits at my parents' house for 25 years now. So I grew up watching the old Saturday Night Lives SCTVs on Nick at Night and not totally understanding what they were, but just knowing that people were getting a reaction. It was fun. And I've been lucky that there's this job that exists with me being sporty and athletic and playing all sports and loving entertainment all at the same time. So the whole time I've been doing wrestling and sports entertainment and all that kind of stuff, I've been writing down notes, doing improv shows, doing everything I possibly can to just keep getting better and be good at going on stage and having fun.
So, I mean, a lot of what you draw from, of course, is the fans that know you as, you know, Dolph Ziggler from WWE, and they come in to see your show. Is it, you know, you mentioned, you know, a sketch and improv. Are you strictly doing stand-up like I saw you years ago, or do you do crowd work, or what can people expect at these shows?
So the really cool part about the DZ and Friends show, which the SummerSlam Eve show will be, is that there'll be surprise guests, there'll be sketches, there'll be different things. I might even do a little bit of an improv sketch for a couple minutes in the middle somewhere. We usually try and make it like a wrestling card a little bit, to where there'll be some action somewhere. There'll be some type of wrestling sequence. I know R-Truth came onto the stage when I was doing my stand-up set, and it turned into a big cameo of a bunch of people thinking they were all on. It was pretty funny.
Will the 24/7 title be defended?
You know what? That's a great question. If I can make that happen, I will absolutely make that happen. And I wouldn't say that it's impossible. I'd say it's more possible than impossible. But yeah, there'll be sketches, jokes, comedy. I'll do stand-up. I'll do crowd work. I'll do Q&A stuff. And we'll have people going in and out the whole time. And what the fans really like you said, is like seeing people in a different light.
Yeah.
You'll see them not just playing the characters, or if they are, they're having fun with it, you know, like their take on it, or, you know, just now there's no cameras and we're just having fun. And it's about giving back to the fans on that SummerSlam weekend, which makes it really cool.
Well, let me tell you something, though. As you probably know, there are always cameras out there. And whatever you say will be heard on Twitter, my friend. That is for sure.
And used against you in the court of Twitter. Yes,
well,
I am very aware of all that.
I have to ask you some of those questions here. Obviously, you know, we've seen you touring, and you know, you were out doing so much comedy, and you'd taken a break from WWE. I was honestly surprised to see you back on WWE TV doing the recent Kofi Kingston program. It seemed slightly last minute due to some logistics. How did you find out about it, and how did it come about?
A lot of people online tell me that it is very last minute, but as someone who has worked closely with the boss and the company for 15 years, it was set up for about 3 months. But I asked for a specific time away to be off of television, because I thought my character had kind of done the same thing over and over and maybe lost 9.5 times out of 10, and we needed to get something fresh and different with it. So I asked for 90 days, like, to go away. I can't sit at home. I'm a psychopath. I've been living out of a suitcase for 15 years. So I also got to go do stand-up sets and do some different things and work with my brother on writing some other stuff and sketches and improv. But also I just needed to be away from the TV show on television, my character-wise, because I've been very lucky for 14 and a half years. Only probably miss a month and a half, and 14 and a half years to where I needed to be off TV for a little bit. So the cool part was I have this other job to where I can go get better at that while I'm, you know, refreshing my character.
The character you came back with the "it should have been me" style catchphrase, was that something you had involvement with to build, or was that served to you?
No, it was something that came up I was kind of given that backstage, I would say. You never know. You need to, you know, different wrinkles and different chunks of your character and different plan to not stay the same person. But I also couldn't just leave for 3 months and come back and go, hey, I'm a plumber now, or I'm a vampire. Like, you can't do that. There's been too much time invested character-wise. So that's why I still had to come back to me, but also with a connotation of I'm genuinely jealous in real life of Kofi Kingston going to WrestleMania and winning the WWE title. So to that extent, I got to say, hey, man, I'm jealous of this guy. I want to take him down. So that part, that, you know, the germ of that idea was, you know, from me.
You mentioned your character and a reboot, and you've been on television for so long and primarily been injury-free, which kudos to you, because that's pretty incredible. But, there, you know, we've watched you with a series of stop and starts for your character. Is that something that is frustrating for you? That tends to be the popular question now, but I have to ask it.
It's, you know, just as it was day one. I mean, it's show business. Of course it's frustrating. When you think you deserve to be champion and you are not, and there's a locker room full of 60 people who all think they should be champion and they're not, it's frustrating to the 59 people who are not champion. that's life, and you get used to it, and you go, here's where I can win my battles. I can go out there and show everyone how good I am. So if the right time happens, or the, you know, the money's been put into the bank to where it's time to withdraw, and I'm the guy for it. So I've built a career out of a guy not quite being their guy, but always there in a pinch, and hoping that that can lead to something else. So of course, it's show business. You're going to be frustrated, even when you're the champ. You're going to be frustrated that you're not doing it exactly the way you want it to be. But that's life. And sometimes people aren't as good as you, and they're the champ for 20 years. And sometimes people are way better than you, and they're sitting in catering and not wrestling. So it's you get used to that life. You get used to the internet constantly letting you know how you feel about it without you, you know, actually telling them, and it makes it funny. But, you know, it's, I try and have fun with everybody on social media. I love my job, especially on the weekends. There is no one to tell me what to do. And this last couple of weeks, it's been Kofi Kingston and myself in the main event for the title on the live event, tearing the house down and beating the hell out of each other. And that's the reason I'm a WWE superstar.
I want to do a little rumor killer here with you, because, you know, you talked about the fact that you read Twitter and people are telling you things that aren't true. You don't know, but that's where you're finding them out, and people believe them. And one of those rumors out there was that WWE management had come to you and offered you more so a role behind the scenes as a producer, scaling back on what you were doing in the ring. Was that true?
No, but I can give you a kind of a nibble of, I mean, 3 or 4 years ago, they said, we'd like you to wrestle here for 20 more years and then eventually become an agent one day behind the scenes. And I said, I don't know, you know, we'll talk about that when that day comes. But that was years and years and years ago, so that's a totally false thing, I guess, because that was never brought to my, like, they said, if I can wrestle for 20 more years, they'd love to have me full-time, and they would really appreciate it. So that's, like, the opposite of the case, I guess.
All right. That's great. That's what we need to know. That will now spread on the internet, I'm sure. There's a lot going on with the wrestling industry nowadays, competition coming back, and there's huge news this week of Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff being in places of power on Raw and SmackDown. As a talent who has worked with WWE through various eras, do you expect changes to come from these guys coming back into the fold?
I mean, I hope so. I mean, it goes in. I've seen this business for almost 15 years with me being inside of it, not just looking at the outside and, you know, hearing rumors and things. Like, I'm actually here, and I've seen cycles. I've seen things change. I've seen different people take over. At the end of the day, Vince McMahon is still the boss, and he has created this awesome empire, and I feel like he has the final say because, you know, he's the boss. He's in charge. But seeing how much line they can give these two different sides to maybe compete with each other would be really cool and great for everybody. And also, yes, other companies around is great for competition. It's great for everybody. It keeps everybody working. Yeah, I have friends who have been fired from this company or haven't been around, and you see them working other places. It's pretty awesome. So everything that happens more and more to the business is good for everybody else because it makes everyone step up their game and makes everyone try new things, and that opens opportunities for everybody. So hopefully, long term, this becomes a thing to where, hey, let's try out some different things and see what works. I hope so.
And, you know, you mentioned those friends who have gone other places, and it is nice now that there are other places to go and be able to make a living outside of WWE. Now, I know you are under WWE contract, but again, this internet thing that we talk about, obviously Dean Ambrose / John Moxley goes on to Chris Jericho's podcast and spouts out a lot of frustrations on that podcast. What's your take on workers who do walk away and then feel the need to gush like that?
It's a free country, man. You can, even you guys, Canada is too. So, I mean, you can do whatever the hell you want. But all I can base it on is when he was here, we had a blast. We beat the hell out of each other, and we wanted to make the best possible show. So we always would be, you know, you'd be frustrated if you're not on top. If you're not doing exactly what you'd like, you're frustrated, but you go, here's my chance to go with someone. And any time I got in the ring with him, I knew we'd beat the hell out of each other. I knew it'd be great. I knew we could always feed off each other. So he's one of the guys. There's a bunch of them like that, but, you know, you brought up Moxie. Like, I wish him the best, man. I hope he goes and does whatever makes him happy, because you got to be happy, or, you know, you shouldn't be doing this job.
So you right now, Dolph, you're still working with WWE. I mean, this past SmackDown, we saw that you did lose to Kofi Kingston. Are you going away from it to go back to stand-up, or are you back on the road as a full-time character and performer now?
I am full-time, on weekend, live events, TV, pay-per-view, everything that they ask me to do, I am there for it. You know what I really love doing is those weeks where I don't go home. It is a Saturday live event for WWE, Sunday live event for WWE, Monday live event for WWE, Tuesday SmackDown TV, and Wednesday when everyone goes home and I know everyone's going home, I love catching that early flight out, hitting a workout, and like I'll be doing in Appleton, Wisconsin, July 10th and 11th, Wednesday, Thursday, two stand-up comedy shows. Friday, I go home for half a day to repack and wash my clothes and go right back out to a WWE live event. I live to constantly get those reps in, wrestling-wise and comedy-wise, to make myself better. And as long as they're asking me to be here and I'm delivering 100%, especially in the main events with Kofi Kingston where we tear it down, that's the perfect life that I'd like to have for the next 20 years.
This is gonna be the best day of my life. So, a few interesting things were said there by one Nick Nemeth / Dolph Ziggler. Pretty open and honest considering, let's face it, he is still under WWE contract. And as we just learned there, he's back to working a full WWE schedule. You know, we've been talking on this show about, well, Dolph is just in to face Kofi and then he's going away. Well, according to what the man just said, he is back. And he is back to working a full schedule and then doing his comedy when he's not doing wrestling. So a huge thank you to Nick Nemeth / Dolph Ziggler for joining me this afternoon to tape that interview. Best of luck with the show that is coming up. And how about this? We have tickets to give away to that show happening on NXT night. That's right. Saturday, August the 10th, after NXT, walk across the street, go to the Rec Room, see Dolph Ziggler, and yep, the meet and greet as well. So it is tickets to the show plus passes to the meet and greet. That is what we are offering up. It's a patron-only giveaway. And that means, friends, if you want to get on and become a patron, patreon.com/SNMEradio. Do it now and answer me this trivia question. Initially, in the WWE, before Dolph Ziggler, Nick Nemeth was known for what sport? So there you have it. Initially in WWE, Nick Nemeth was known for what sport? And I'm talking on-screen character here, okay? If you want to go see Dolph live, all you have to do is send me a Patreon message with the answer to that question. So you have to be a patron. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. Jump on, sign up, and you can be going to see Dolph Ziggler when he is live here in Toronto and meet him, because we're giving away the meet and greet as well. Going to do two of them. You must answer this by Wednesday at noon. That is when I am doing the draw, and I will post that up on the Patreon as well. Plus, the uncut, unedited Dolph Ziggler interview, because there is more to it. So that'll go up this week too. Lots up on the Patreon, so please sign up and support the show. And you too can reap the rewards. But right now we're going to take a break. Come on back. Your feedback is next as we finish things up here on Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio. Well, that's hour one of Sunday Night's Main Event, and each and every week, hour two includes the Wrestling Observer Insider with Dave Meltzer, Turnbuckle Trivia, Feedback, and often the Triple Threat is in the second hour as well. If you'd like to hear it, just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio and become a patron. Contributions start for as little as $4 a month. And that also includes our patron-exclusive podcast that I often mention on the show. Once again, patreon.com/SNMEradio.